Walter Pidgeon, who plays the part of the novelist, while Martha Scott, now starring on Broadway in The Voice of the Turtle, plays the part of Mary Norton. And now the curtain rises on George M. Cohan's Seven Keys to Baldpate.
Hear that wind howling? Hear it shrieking? That's the wind on Baldpate Mountain. In the wintertime, snow-covered Baldpate Mountain is the loneliest place in the world. There's a hotel at the top of Baldpate, but it's a summer hotel, and there's nobody in it now. If you think there is somebody in it just because there happens to be a light on in the lobby, why, let's take a look and see.
Ah, it's warmer here in the lobby of Baldpate Inn, isn't it? And it's deserted just as I told you it would be. But no. Who's that man behind the desk? What's he doing here? Do you suppose he's here just to get warm? Yep, he's here just to get warm. Good heavens, there's somebody else in this deserted place. Let's see what's going to happen.
I'm a coming.
Oh, it's cold.
Ah, you're Mr. McGee, ain't you?
Yes, and I suppose you're Mr. Quimby, the caretaker here.
Yeah, be.
You expected me, of course.
Yes, I got Mr. Bentley's telegram all right. It only come about an hour ago, so I didn't have much time to prepare this place for you.
Well, I didn't decide to come here until 4 o'clock this afternoon.
I've been wondering why anybody would come here in the middle of winter.
Yes, I suppose you have been.
Yeah. When the owner telegraphs me to fix a place up for a guest, I just do it. I just follow orders. But I wonder, too.
You're not asking me to explain my business to you, are you?
Oh, of course not. What is your business, mister?
Mr. Quimby, do you read the sort of novels that are sold by the pound across the gum and candy counters?
I never chew gum.
Well, I write those novels.
Well, it takes all kinds...
Wild, thrilling tales for the tired businessman's tired wife. Shots in the night, chases after fortunes, Cupid busy with his arrows all over the place. It's good fun, and I like to do it. And there's money in it.
Oh, they pay you, huh?
Well, yes and no. The publishers pay me money, but the critics don't pay me compliments. They say I'm a cheap, melodramatic ranter. So, I've come up here to Baldpate to get away from melodrama, if possible. To do a story so fine and literary that I'll win the highest honors that can come to a writer.
Oh, you mean you want to be on information, please?
Well, maybe. But to do this sort of thing, I need to be completely alone. That's why I came to Baldpate.
If I was you, I wouldn't have come here for $1,000.
But I came here for $5,000.
$5,000?
Exactly. I'm here on a bet.
Betsy, what's that?
Well, the telephone, I think.
Things been turned off all winter.
Certainly, but Bentley has just had the service renewed. He probably wants to find out if I've arrived. You better answer it, huh?
Yeah, I'll get it. Hello? Yes, Mr. Bentley. Yes, Mr. Bentley. He got here. Yeah. I understand, sir. At 12 o'clock. Yes, sir. All right, sir. Goodbye. He wants me to be here at 12 o'clock tomorrow night to talk to him on the telephone again.
Yes. And you're going to have bad news for him.
Bad news? How do you mean?
Well... Bentley and I have a bet. You know, of course, that Bentley is a famous magazine editor.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I write for his magazine sometimes, and we're good friends, and naturally we talk shop. We were talking today about how long it took to write a story, and I claimed that if I could have 24 hours in a lonely place like Baldpate Inn, I could produce a 10,000-word story. He claimed I couldn't, and we both put up $5,000. Mm. And when he calls tomorrow at midnight... You're going to tell him that I don't have to pay him.
I am?
Well, you're going to tell him that I handed you a 10,000-word story. It's the same thing. Now, guess I better get started. I'll let you go home, Mr. Quimby.
Well, I don't mind if I do.
Just one thing. You better give me the key.
Oh, my, yes, the key. Here it is. You know, this key is the only key to Baldpate in existence.
So Mr. Bentley told me.
And if I was you, I'd lock myself in. And nothing can bother you but ghosts.
Oh, do you have ghosts here?
We have a ghost.
Ah, I see.
But I guess we know who the ghost is. Old fella up here in the mountain by the name of Peter.
Ah, yeah.
He's a hermit.
Mm-hmm.
One of them fellas that's been disappointed in love.
Yeah, love is disappointing.
Yeah, his wife run off somebody else.
Hmm.
We figure Peters is the fella who's been frightening the people down in the valley by waving a lantern from the mountainside with a white sheet wrapped around him. Well, I'll be getting along.
All right, I'll show you out. But there's just one thing, Mr. Quimby.
Yeah?
Nobody knows I'm here.
Not so.
Well, don't tell anybody, huh? It's very important that I have absolute solitude.
Mr. McGee, it's now nearly midnight. After I go out that door, it won't open again for 24 hours.
Good.
You can count on that.
Fine.
Operator, 2875 West. Hurry it along, sister. Hello. Hello, is that you, Mayor Cargan? This is Bland. Yeah, I'm at Baldpate Inn. Now listen, I'll hide the money here in the safe and meet you where I said and turn the key over to you then. No, don't worry, Mayor Cargan. It's perfectly safe here. How could they get in? My key to Baldpate is the only one in existence. All right, goodbye. Now let's open this safe. There.
What did you put in that safe?
Who are you?
Who are you?
What are you doing here?
What are you doing here?
Did you follow me up that mountain?
Did you follow me? Oh, say, let's break this up.
How'd you get in here?
I got in here through that door?
No, you didn't. There's only one key to that door, and I have it right here in my hand.
Is it anything like this one that I have in my hand?
You mean to tell me that's a key to Baldpate?
You mean to tell me that's a key to Baldpate? You see, we could keep this up forever. The fact is, my key to Baldpate is the only key to Baldpate in existence.
Oh, no. My key to Baldpate is the only key to Baldpate in existence.
Well, I guess there are two only keys to Baldpate in existence. Now, when I heard what you told your friend over the telephone, I was...
You heard what I said over the telephone?
Every word?
You don't think you're going to live to tell it, do you?
You know, that's plagiarism. I've used that line in every story I ever wrote.
Put up your hands.
Oh, no, not a pearl-handled revolver. What a cliche.
You've got a nerve to talk like that with a gun in front of your face.
Oh, that doesn't disturb me in the least. While I have never experienced this sort of thing in real life before, I've written so much of this melodramatic stuff and collected so much splendid royalties from it all that it rather amuses me to discover that the so-called literary trash is the real thing after all. You may not believe it, but... Really, old chap, I've written you over and over again.
Now, see here, mister, I killed a man.
Oh, wait a minute. You're not going to say I killed a man once for laughing at me.
Yes.
Really, you know, you must be one of my most devoted readers.
If you don't tell me who you are and what you're doing here, I'll kill you as dead as a doornail. Come on, I mean business. Who are you?
My name is McGee.
What are you?
A writer of popular novels.
What are you doing here?
Trying to complete a novel in 24 hours.
It'll have to be a better story than that.
Look, if you don't believe me, go upstairs into the first room on your right.
Why should I?
You'll find a typewriter there, several pages of manuscript, and the letter from the owner of this inn.
A letter from the owner?
Yes.
And you're not in with the police?
Not at all.
March up those stairs ahead of me. I'm going to see if you're telling the truth.
Oh, very well, then. Well, here's the room.
Let's see what's in here.
Go ahead.
Let's see. A typewriter.
Don't open this door. Let me out. Open this door. I'll get you for this.
Hold your breath. I'll be right back. Operator. Operator. I want to talk with the Bellingham Police Headquarters. That's what I said. Police Headquarters.
Hello.
Well...
You must be Mr. McGee.
And you must be Miss America.
Oh, thank you.
Who are you?
It's all right. I'm harmless.
Oh, charming name. tell me, how did you open that door?
Unlocked it with a key, of course.
Oh, tell me something.
Yes?
Are you the person with the only key to Baldpate in existence?
Why, yes.
Now, look here, miss. I'm a busy man who has to earn $5,000 in 24 hours.
I know.
You can't know.
But I do. Your name is McGee. You write melodramatic novels. This afternoon, you were in New York. You arrived here just before midnight tonight, and you have to write a story by midnight tomorrow night.
What color is my underwear?
Ain't funny, McGee.
Well, you can always leave, you know.
Now, I know I have no right to intrude,
then,
Mr. McGee.
Then why do you?
That's a very good question.
Well...
Mr. McGee, I want to ask you to allow me to bring my companion inside.
Your companion?
Yes, Mrs. Rhodes, Grace Rhodes. Let her come in, and then I'll explain in a moment who I am and why we're here.
But I have to write a story.
Really, Mr. McGee, you're not going to let my companion freeze to death, are you?
All right, have her come in, then.
Thank you. Come on in, Mrs. Rhodes.
What's the matter? What's the matter?
Lock the door! Lock the door!
What's the matter, Grace? What frightened you?
A man.
A man?
A man? A man. He jumped out of the second-story window and started running down the mountain.
McGee, who could that have been?
Just a fellow I locked in that room up there. And do you know why?
No, why?
Because he got in the way of my work.
If you'll just let me explain,
I... Oh, my manuscript. My manuscript. Maybe he took my manuscript.
What's the matter with him?
I don't know. What? Telephone.
I don't suppose we should answer it.
Well, I think I'll answer it anyway. Hello? What's that? Well, hold the wire, please. I'll see.
What is it, Mary?
It's all right. He left the manuscript, and he left something else, too.
What?
This gun.
No.
Oh. Don't be alarmed. I'm not going to shoot. At least not you, and at least not yet.
Mr. McGee, did you wish to talk to police headquarters?
Police headquarters?
The chief is on the phone and wants to know if you called him.
Well, the man got away. Just say it must be a mistake.
Hello? No such call was put in from here. Must be some mistake.
Good.
That's all right. But you did call police headquarters.
I did.
Why?
I'll tell you why, baby Snooks. So that they could arrest a crook and leave me in peace and quiet so that I could write my story and deliver it on time and collect my $5,000. Now, you answer a few questions for me.
Certainly.
Remember your promise, Mary.
Who gave you your key to Baldpate?
I can't tell you his name.
Well, tell me your name, then.
Mary Norton. I do special stories for the Milford Star.
Oh, a newspaper reporter.
That's it. And this lady is Mrs. Rhodes, with whom I live in Milford, and who's the only other person who knows I'm here to do this story.
What story?
The story of the bet you made.
Who told you about the bet?
Remember your promise, Mary.
I can only tell you that my special correspondent in charge of spying on men in New York telephoned me about your bet 5 minutes after you made it.
What's the name of this spy?
Remember your promise, Mary.
You know, I wish you hadn't brought Mrs. Rhodes with you.
But in that case, I wouldn't have been able to stay here all night until your story is finished.
I still wish you hadn't brought Mrs. Rhodes with you.
Remember your promise, Mary.
Mary, you are a very promising young woman. And, I think that I'll let you stay after all.
And me, too.
Oh, yes, and you too, Mrs. Rhodes. Since my little experience with the gun-flourishing, window-jumping gentleman, I rather like the idea of a companion or two.
Why did he jump from the window?
You might as well ask me why he placed a package of money in the safe or why he telephoned that fact to Mayor Coggan.
Mayor Coggan?
What's the matter, Mrs. Rhodes?
Mrs. Rhodes is going to marry Mayor Coggan next Sunday morning.
Oh, indeed. Well, congratulations, Mrs. Rhodes.
Mr. McGee, I want you to know a more honest man than Jim Coggan never lived.
Oh, I don't doubt it. I didn't mean to offend you. No doubt the money was left here because
Mayor Coggan doesn't trust banks.
Yeah, certainly. Because Mayor Coggan doesn't trust banks.
Yeah.
Now, look, ladies, you stay if you want. But I've lost half an hour already, and I've got to get to work. Make yourselves comfortable. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, Miss Norton.
Good night, Mr. McGee.
I hope you'll be very comfortable, Miss Norton.
I will be.
What about me?
Oh, yes, you too, of course, Mrs. Rhodes. Are you sure you'll be all right, Miss Norton?
Of course. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, Miss Norton.
Well, Mary, if ever I saw anybody fall first.
Oh, you know how men are. I'm probably the first girl he's seen since he came to Baldpate.
He's good-looking, isn't he?
Yes.
Yes, he is.
Awful quiet, isn't it?
Yes.
Creepy, sort of. Funny, the effect of those shadows.
Grotesque.
It's a strange shadow over there in that doorway.
Where? Oh, yes. I wonder why that shadow's moving.
Mary, it's all white like a ghost. Mary, under the table.
Oh, don't be silly. Come out from there.
Under the table, Mary, under the table.
Move over, Greg.
And now the curtain rises on the second act of George M. Cohan's comedy melodrama, Seven Keys to Baldpate, produced by the Theatre Guild On the Air, starring Walter Pidgeon as William McGee and Martha Scott as Mary Norton. Outside of Baldpate Inn, the wind is howling. But inside, everything is quiet. The lobby is completely deserted, except under the writing table, where there are two women. On the stairs leading to the upstairs portion of the hotel, there is nobody. I suppose you'd call a ghost nobody. The ghost's sheet is tattletale gray. The ghost is headed upward. In the first room to the right, on the second floor, that's the room the ghost is headed for, there is a man at work.
And a ha-ha-ha to you.
I'm a ghost.
I'm a writer myself, and I'm awfully busy. See here, that's the second time you've barked at me. Now, don't do it again, do you hear? I know all about you.
You do?
Yes, your name is Peters, and you've been a hermit here ever since your wife had the good sense to run away with somebody else. Now get out of here and leave me alone.
What are all you people doing in Baldpate Inn?
Say, did you frighten those ladies downstairs? Did you?
You bet I frightened them. I don't like women.
Do you like punches in the nose?
How do all you people get in here?
You're not going to pull that only key to Baldpate Inn existence speech on me, are you?
What?
You know, there are other keys besides yours.
They're all imitations. Mine's the real key. The old man gave it to me before he died.
What old man?
Father, that young scamp who wastes his time around those New York clubs. You know who I mean.
Then you're not particularly fond of the present owner of Baldpate.
I hate every man alive.
You don't like women either, you say.
I despise them.
How do little girls and boys strike you? I can understand your wife now, anything in preference to you.
Don't mention my wife's name or I...
Now see here, you Bush League Scrooge. If you make any more bluffs at me, I'll take that white sheet away from you and put you right out of the ghost business. What's that? What's going on downstairs? Get out of my way. What's happened? Miss Norton, Miss Rhodes, what's the matter?
Mr. McGee, there was a ghost.
I know.
And just now, Mrs. Rhodes saw a woman walking past the window.
She's apparently at the door now. Get upstairs quickly. I'll handle her.
Come on, Mary. Come on upstairs.
Are you going to be all right, Mr.
McGee? I'll be all right. I'm going to hide behind this desk. Go ahead. And look, if you see that ghost, say boo and he'll run.
Come up here, Mary.
All right, I'm coming, Gray.
Pardon me. Are you going to rob the safe?
Oh, who are you?
I'm the desk clerk. Would you like to register? We're pretty crowded, you know.
That's very funny. Mm. Do you represent the Milford suburban people, or are you one of the Cargan crowd?
Oh, what an accent. I thought Vaudeville was dead.
How did you get...
Oh, just a minute. I'll answer that one before you ask it. A friend of mine gave it to me. Of course, you thought you had the only one in existence, and you have a right to think so. After all, if everyone else thinks so, why can't you?
Listen here, Mr.
Now, you listen here. I'm a peaceful man trying to do a difficult job and win a bet, and I'll give you about 10 seconds to get out of here.
Oh, please, no. Listen to me,
please. 10 seconds, yeah.
Listen, my husband is the president of the Bellingham-Milford Suburban Railway Company.
Mm-hmm.
He has bribed the mayor of Milford for a certain city franchise, and I happen to know that the mayor is going to
take the money and then refuse to deliver the franchise. Oh, you've got to help me. You're a man. You can help me.
But what do you want me to do?
In that safe, there is a bundle containing $200,000.
$200,000?
Yes, it must be there. A man named Blonde was to bring it here at midnight.
He came.
Mayor Cargan is coming later to get it.
Ah, I'm not surprised. Trust a politician to go where the crowd is.
You'll help me, won't you?
I think it's about time someone helped me. Look, you see this gun?
Don't shoot.
Turn around. I'm going to distribute you all and all the other guests among the rooms at Baldpate Inn. And you're going to stay in your rooms and shut up and let me work. Do you hear?
But the money...
No one will take that money away from here tonight. Go on, march up those stairs.
Don't shoot. I go.
Believe me, when I'm through with this story, I'm going to quit writing and go into something lucrative, like making keys to Baldpate. Oh, go away.
Mr. McGee.
Oh, it's you, Miss Norton. Well, that's different. Come right in.
Thank you.
Say that again.
What? Thank you?
That or anything else, I just like your voice.
That's funny. I have the darndest trouble with it. I can't sing bass at all.
Are you married?
No.
A nice girl like you ought to get married.
Have you got a man picked out for me?
Let's start all over again, a little slower.
Yeah, all right.
Can you run a typewriter?
Yes. Can you cook?
You know, I like you. I like you enormously. Look, Mary, when I'm through with this story, I'm going to go down to Milford and take you to all the local nightclubs.
If I'll go.
If you'll go. And if you won't, I'll pitch a tent on your front lawn until you do. But right now, well, look, I have got work to do, and, well, I just can't work with anyone as distracting as you are in the room.
But I have to talk to you.
Having to talk to me seems to be the most popular indoor sport around
here. Miss McGee, who did that woman claim to be?
Why do you ask?
Because I overheard her.
Well, then you know.
I know she lied.
Oh, did she?
She claimed to be the wife of Thomas Hayden, the president of the Suburban Railway. I know Mrs. Hayden. She's a woman in her 50s.
Oh.
You can see for yourself that the woman who came here is young.
Oh, yes, I noticed that.
Yes, I noticed you noticed.
But she's not as pretty as you, though.
Do you think I'm pretty?
Well, don't you?
Yes.
You know, I wish I had one of my books here with me.
Why?
There are certain speeches in those books. The boy says them to the girl, and now that I want to remember them, I can't.
Oh, I know the sort of thing you mean. The hero says, "Darling, from the moment you walked in here tonight, I knew you were the one woman on earth for me."
That's right. That's the speech.
One look at you and the whole world dropped away.
You've got it down pat.
There were just you and I standing there facing each other. Uh-huh. Just a man and a woman, mm-hmm. Breathless with the knowledge that this was it. That nothing else mattered now that love had come at last. Darling, will you be my bride?
You'll have to speak to my father.
Is that the kind of stuff you write?
Yes, but don't hold it against me.
It's pretty hard not to.
Well, I'll think of better speeches, and I'll make them. But I can't right now. Do you realize what time it is? And I haven't written half my story.
Well, I'll go, but I've got to ask a favor of you.
What is it?
Get me that package of money out of the safe.
Why?
You heard what that woman told you about the money. She may be right or she may be wrong, but it's dead certain that Mayor Cargan is being bribed.
He certainly is.
I know you're honest. I know you'd want to stop bribery or expose
it. Well, of course.
Well, get me that package of money, and I'll take it to Milford, turn it over to the police, and write an expose for tomorrow's edition of The Star.
I see. You know,
what were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say that I have no way of knowing you're really a newspaper reporter. But, well, I trust you.
You make me ashamed of myself.
Why?
Well, let's say I don't always tell the truth.
But who does?
Oh, but I mean, Mr. McGee, you like me, don't you?
Woo!
but you don't know anything about me.
I'll take a chance.
Then you will get the money out of the safe?
Yes, but remember, I don't know the combination, and I haven't any dynamite. You got any dynamite?
Not handy.
Oh. Well, then we'll have to wait till Merrick Cargan comes. I'll let him get in and open the safe, and then I'll take the money away from him.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. If you do that, I'll...
Do what, I hope?
I'll go and speak to your father.
Oh,
It's okay. Come on in, Mayor Coggan.
Where's the safe, Max?
Right here.
Fine. Now the combination?
Right, 1-6.
Right, 1-6.
Left, 2-11.
Left, 2-11.
Uh-huh. Right, 8.
Right, 2-8.
Then left until it opens.
There. And here's the package.
It's there?
200 beautiful $1,000.
But I thought...
You thought what, Max?
Nothing.
You were going to say something, Max.
Yeah. I was going to ask you if it's all there.
Max, you seem surprised that I found anything here.
What do you mean, surprised?
I mean, I think you plan to double-cross me.
Me? Mayor Coggan, me?
Yes, you. You and Myra Thornhill. You've had secret meetings with her during the last 48 hours. I've had you watched. I was going to kill you, Max, if this money had been gone. And that's just what I'm going to do if you ever double-cross me, you understand? Oh, I'm shot. Shot!
Oh, no, you're not, Coggan.
Huh?
You're not shot. I just shot over your heads. And I'll put one in you if you don't toss that package over here. Come on, hurry up. I mean business. That's the stuff. Thank you. Come on down, Mary.
I'm halfway down already.
All right, Mary. Here's the money. You saw Mayor Coggan take it out of the safe.
Yes.
You heard everything he said to this engaging gentleman here.
Yes.
Okay, take the money. You better take Mrs. Rhodes with you. Mm-hmm. Go into town. When you've seen the cops, call me. Then sit down at your typewriter and make fireworks.
I'm on my way.
Oh, go away. Look, Canterville, I auditioned you before, and I've got a deadline in 4 hours, so go away.
There's somebody downstairs.
There's nobody downstairs. I've locked everyone in 205, and if they can break down that oak door, they're good.
But a man just came in downstairs.
Oh, do people think we're selling nylons here? Oh, well, let's see what this one wants. Good morning, sir. Welcome to the crossroads of the world. I suppose you're the owner of the only key to Baldpate.
Who are you?
I'm Mayor Coghlan's butler.
Mayor Coggan?
Yes. He's here. Do you wish to see him?
Yes. Tell him that Mr. Hayden of the Milford Bellingham Suburban Railway is calling.
Oh, I see. Are you the president of that road, sir?
I most certainly am.
Well, your wife's here, sir.
What?
Yes, I've locked her in that room up there. Just a minute, sir. I'll tell the mayor the president has arrived. Mayor Coggan, Max, Mrs. Railroad, come on downstairs. I want you to meet a friend of yours. Well, Mr. Hayden, here are your friends.
Hello, Hayden. What's the meaning of this, Coggan?
Hayden, I don't know. All I know is we're nailed.
Mr. Hayden, meet your wife. I don't think you've ever had the pleasure.
I'm not his wife.
She certainly is not.
Well, here's a novelty at last. Someone's knocking. Someone hasn't got a key.
It's Bland. I have a key. I'll let him in.
Do that, Hayden, and whoever he is, let him in. But don't try to get out yourself. Remember, I have a gun.
All right.
Oh, hello, Mr. Hayden. Well, who are all these people?
I don't know, Bland.
Say, that's him. The man I telephoned you about, Mr. Hayden. He locked me in.
Welcome back, Bland.
Who's got the money?
The money is on its way to Milford. Miss Norton is going to turn it over to the police. And now, you see this gun? You're all going to sit down. Go ahead. Sit down.
Now, wait a minute.
Sit down, Hayden.
I don't care to sit down.
Do as you're told. Sit down.
Confounded, do you realize I'm the president of Milford Bellingham Railway Company?
I wouldn't care if you were the president of the Mexican League. Sit down.
Very well.
Now, we're all going to stay right here till that phone bell rings and I get word that Miss Norton is safe and sound in Milford. It may be 3 hours or it may be 6 hours. But we're going to stay here together no matter how long it takes. So get comfortable and sit as easy as you can.
I'm afraid I made a mistake in bringing you up here, Mr. Hayden.
You're always making mistakes, you blockheaded fool.
Max, you did try to cross me. I know it, or Myra Thornhill wouldn't be here.
Don't you like to have me here, Mr. Cargan?
Myra, I'm sorry I got you into this.
Oh, your father's mustache.
Oh. Well, welcome back to Brooklyn, Myra. This is going to be a nice, pleasant little party. I can see that right now.
Do you want to order some more coffee, Grace?
No, I'm quite warmed up now, thanks.
Fine. That was a long walk to the car. I thought I'd never get warm.
Well, if you're ready, Mary, there's the phone booth there.
You know, Grace, I hate to do this to Mr. McGee.
You're falling for him, Mary.
It isn't that.
It is that.
Well, maybe it is, but there he is up there in that inn with all that gang, and you and I are the only ones he can trust. He gave us the package of money because he felt he could trust us. I just hate what we're going to do to him, really.
You don't want to back out, do you?
In a way, I do.
Well, there's the phone booth. You can always call him up and admit you're not a newspaper reporter.
I wonder what he'd say if I told him what I really am.
After the way he's trusted you, he'd probably explode.
I guess I'll have to go through with it.
Well, if you don't, we won't get the money that was promised to us.
I know. And I need the money, Grace.
Well, then?
Oh, I'll string along. I'll go through with it.
I thought you would, Mary.
Just one more cup of coffee. I guess I want to delay things. I hate to call Mr. McGee and say we lost the $200,000.
Well, it's 11 o'clock. Tired of sitting here? Forget I've got a gun and let's start a conversation. Let's all tell each other where we got our keys to Baldpate. Well, I'll start the ball rolling. I got mine from the caretaker. Next. Oh, well, if you're not going to talk, let's count the keys. I had the first one. The second. Miss Norton, the third. Our friend the ghost here, the fourth. Myra, you had the fifth, and Cargan, you had the sixth. Six keys to Baldpate.
There are seven keys to Baldpate.
Seven? How do you know, Peters?
The old man told me the day before he died. Mine's the original, the others are imitations.
Oh, seven keys, eh? Well, and more company expected. More melodrama, I suppose. Where did you get your key, Bland?
None of your business.
How about you, Mr. Gargan?
None of your business.
Yeah. Myra.
Max gave the key to me.
Myra, please.
Where did you get a key to Baldpate, Max?
I can't tell you, Mayor Cargan.
Myra, I suppose he also gave you the combination to the safe.
That's right, Cargan.
Myra.
Oh, shut up. I'll tell you the whole scheme, Cargan. I was supposed to come here and get the money. And Max and I were going to meet tomorrow and divide it.
Max, you...
The word is rat, Mr. Cargan. That's what my characters always say.
Max was going to tell Cargan that Bland couldn't have put the money there.
What?
Call him a rat, Bland.
You rat?
Max, I'm going to kill you for this.
Mayor Cargan, where did you get a key to Baldpate? You told me you couldn't get in here unless I met you and unlocked the door.
I can explain that. Cargan was to meet you here, right, Bland?
Right.
Well, he was going to take the money before that. And then when he came in with you and found it gone, was he going to be surprised?
In other words, Cargan, you were going to double-cross not only me, but Hayden and everyone else connected with the bribe.
No, Bland, she's lying.
I am not. But if I hadn't been interrupted by Mr. McGee here, I'd have gotten the money and triple-crossed the whole outfit.
That's extremely unethical.
Ethical, schmethical. I was dealing with crooks, wasn't I?
Who's a crook? I tell you, this woman can't be believed. She's a blackmailer, pure and simple.
Don't you call me pure and simple.
Fine people you do this to, Bland, you lump-headed idiot.
Well, Mr. Hayden, you wanted the deal put through, didn't you? If I get out of this, I'm going to tell the truth, and I don't care who suffers. As long as I can.
Fine mess this is. Cargan, is it true you were going to rob me of the money?
Of course he was.
Shut up, Max, you double-crosser.
You know, my suggestion was to start a conversation, not a roughhouse. Myra, answer the phone, please. My telephone hand is busy with this gun.
Okay. Hello, yes. Baldpate Inn. Oh, just a moment.
Mr. McGee, Miss Norton wants to speak to you.
Take the message.
Hello. I'll take the message. You're in Billingham.
You lost the package of money.
What?
She's lost the package of money.
Lost the money? Give me that phone.
Give me that gun.
Wait, I got the gun.
Got it. Now then, McGee.
Anyway, now, Max. Myra, did that girl really say she lost the money?
Yep, Cargan.
Well, she's lying.
She wouldn't lie.
Shut up, McGee. You're the prisoner now. Myra, listen. That girl is trying to get away with the money for herself. Get on the phone and tell her to come right back here.
Okay.
Hello. Mr. McGee says you are to return to Balpatine right away. That's right. Goodbye.
Now, Myra.
Max, what are you going to do?
Just this.
Oh.
You're a good shot, Max. You've got her all right.
Murder.
Cover her up, quick. Here's my coat.
Throw it over.
It's murder.
I'll say it's murder. Max, you'll hang for this. But every one of the rest of you will suffer, too. Because the whole rotten story of the bribe is going to come out when Max goes on trial.
Who's going on trial?
You are.
Oh, no, you are. I can't understand why you shot her, though, Mr. McGee.
Ah, that's a very nice try, Max, but I've got an awful lot of witnesses here.
Yes. You have witnesses, McGee. That's why you hang.
Bad business, this carrying guns. Who was the woman? Your wife?
Better plead insanity, McGee, old man. But I think you will hang anyway.
And now the curtain rises on the third act of George M. Cohan's comedy melodrama, Seven Keys to Baldpate, produced by the Theater Guild on the Air, starring Walter Pidgeon as William McGee and Martha Scott as Mary Norton.
Baldpate Inn, atop beautiful Baldpate Mountain. It's the dead of winter. If you were a writer like William McGee in search of solitude, you couldn't find a quieter place. The rooms upstairs are quiet because they're all empty, except one. And that one room is quiet because the person in it is Myra Thornhill. And Myra is very, very dead. She's been moved to that room by several men who are now downstairs in the lobby. These men are quiet because they are listening to Mr. McGee. Mr. McGee is not at all quiet.
Oh, no, gentlemen. You can't get away with it. It's good melodrama, but it's old stuff. I've written it by the yard myself. You can't frame me. You work very well together, but you forget that I have a witness.
What witness?
Peters.
Yeah. Where is Peters?
He's disappeared. Yeah.
We'll take care of Peters.
Who's there?
Open this door in the name of the law.
Please.
Keep quiet. You better let him in, Cargan.
Yeah, I suppose I'd better. Oh, hello, Kennedy.
Hello, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, what are you doing here?
I can explain that to you.
Mr. Kennedy, are you a policeman?
I'm chief of the Bellingham Police Department.
Well, that man Max has a gun on him.
And just who are you?
My name is McGee. You've got to arrest these men immediately.
Why?
Because they're crooks.
Well, I know them and they're respectable citizens. Say, are you trying to frame them?
But a murder has been committed.
Yeah? Well, you're probably the guy who committed it.
That's right, Chief. Chief, listen to me.
No.
Don't listen to him, Chief. He's just waiting for a chance to break away.
Now, listen here. Somebody telephoned police headquarters from here and then hung up.
That's right, Chief.
Oh, you know about it, huh?
I know all about it.
Yeah? Then it's my duty to warn you. Anything you say will be used against you.
Now, wait a minute.
No, I'll wait no minute. We called back here and some woman told us it was a mistake. Now, what's it all about?
It was I who called police headquarters.
It was a woman.
That was when you called back, but I called you first.
What for?
You'll understand what for when I tell my story. I charged these men with conspiracy and murder.
Mayor Cargan, what's this all about?
Don't pay any attention to him, Chief. He shot and killed a woman a few minutes ago, and he's accused every man here of the crime.
Murder?
Yes. Cold-blooded murder.
Who was the woman you shot?
I didn't shoot the woman. That man, Max, did.
He's been raving like that for an hour, Chief.
McGee, what is your reason for being here?
I came here to write a story.
Cargan, you're right. He's a lunatic for sure. Where is the body of this woman who was killed?
Upstairs.
Who can show it to me?
I can't.
All right. Let's go upstairs, then. Now, McGee, don't you try to escape. I've got cops outside ready to blow your head off if you do. Come on, boys. Where's the body? Well, where's the room?
In here, Chief. There's the body.
Where's the body?
Where's the body?
Where's the body?
Psst. McGee.
Peters,
Where were you?
I was in the secret passage.
Secret passage?
Yes. I carried the body of that woman through the secret passage to the cellar.
But what did you do that for?
Well, I heard them accuse you of a crime.
Oh, Peters, you've gummed everything up. I'd like to make a real ghost out of you.
Here they come. I'm going down cellar.
What do you make of this, Cargan?
This place must be haunted, Hayden.
She must have jumped out the window.
Now, Max, how could the murdered woman have jumped out the window? The windows are closed.
I can't understand it at all.
Say, look, if this is a joke...
I tell you it's no joke, Chief. There has been a murder committed here.
Then where's the victim?
In the cellar.
In the cellar? What is
it? The body is in the cellar.
I mind to you, young feller. You're trying to get me to go down there and then trap me, eh? Well, you won't get me down to that cellar. Sergeant! Sergeant, come in here.
Yeah, Chief.
Search the cellar of this place.
Okay, Chief. Right away.
And don't leave a thing unturned, understand?
Understand.
Now, if this thing is a practical joke, you'll all land in jail for it. There's someone at the door.
Hello. Where's Mr. McGee?
I'll take that key, please.
Miss Norton.
Mr. McGee, why are the police here?
They seem to be trying to undo justice.
Say, who is this woman?
She claims to be a newspaper reporter.
She's a thief. She stole a package of money.
Whose money?
My money.
No, my money.
It's the bribe money, Chief.
Well, now, where is the money?
It's lost.
Don't believe it.
She's trying to steal it for herself.
Mary, where did you lose it?
Well, I don't know. Somewhere between here and Bellingham. I've looked everywhere for it.
Where's Mrs. Rose?
She said she was too cold to come back here. I left her at the hotel in Bellingham.
How much money was it?
$200,000.
Come on, cut the comedy. How much was it?
He's right, Chief. $200,000.
Miss Norton, where did you get all that money?
I gave it to her.
And where did you get it?
From Mayor Cargan.
Where did you get the money, Cargan?
He took the money from that safe.
Well, how did the money get in the safe?
Bland put it there.
Bland, where did you get the money?
From Mr. Hayden.
Mr. Hayden, why did you give the money to Bland?
He worked overtime.
Come on, come on. Come on, get in there.
No, don't push me.
Yeah, that's all we could find in the cellar, Chief.
It's Peters.
What? No dead bodies or packages of money?
Nothing else, Chief.
All right, Sergeant, now get outside again and question anybody who passes up and down that mountain.
Okay, Chief.
Now about this money.
I don't believe this girl lost the money, Chief.
But who is the woman this girl left in Bellingham?
Mrs. Rhodes, my fiancée. She's all right.
How do we know? Maybe they're working together.
I'll bet Mrs. Rhodes has the money.
Well, I'm going to find out. Hello, operator. Operator, get me the Bellingham Hotel. That's right. Say, what was that woman's name again?
Rhodes.
Oh, Rhodes. Oh, hello, Charlie. Charlie, this is Chief Kennedy talking. Say, is there a woman there by the name of Rhodes? Oh, she left her. How long ago? I see. What's that? She asked you to mind the package for her until she got back. Say, listen, Charlie. You call headquarters right away and get a man over there. Now, give him that package. Tell him to bring it up to Baldpate Inn as quick as he can. Understand? Okay. Well, I guess Mrs. Rhodes did have the money.